broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Last 10 years, I've grown up with everyone on the set.
We really wanted to be able to let people voice their opinion.
Well, I would prefer to use the body scanner.
She put her full hand on my breast.
Eat the fried pork sausages.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're online at philhendryshow.com right now with live streaming video and audio of our show. Tonight, the TSA allegedly makes a cancer victim remove her prosthetic breast. We're going to be talking with Art Griego later. He is a retired pilot, about the ongoing controversies and the ongoing discussions revolving around new TSA pat-down and scanning procedures. That's next hour. A woman created an online poll asking users if she should give birth or get an abortion. We'll talk about that. And Donald Trump is considering a run for the presidency. Tonight, Dr. Ron Tarner will be joining us in our first hour as we talk about Black Friday. Dr. Tarner is he's an astronomer, right? He calls himself a cosmologist at Mountain Meadow Observatory there in Cloverdale, Colorado. We're going to be discussing with him tonight, promoting his career and the science and things of that nature, and what it has to do with, you know, standing in line there for Best Buy. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. 877-876-PHIL. And again, online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com. In St. Petersburg, Florida, there's a family that has decided that they want to be the very first in the nation to start camping out, if you're ready for this, at a Best Buy store in search of Black Friday deals. The Davenport family pitched a pair of tents on Wednesday at 10 a.m. in front of the Best Buy at Tyrone Square in St. Petersburg, Florida, to snag deals that were still 9 days away. And that made them the first people to start camping out at a Best Buy store anywhere in the country. And to put that in perspective, there are more than 1,000 Best Buy stores in the United States. Talking to us tonight from Denver, although I know that you are you're working right now at the University of Denver, Ron?
Right, Phil. Well, there's just a couple of things that we're finishing up before a conference that we're all going to be involved in. It's an exciting conference this weekend in Boca Raton, Florida. But Jeff is over at the Best Buy right now. He's my 13-year-old. He's got our place in line, and we are... You know, we're making the best of a very difficult situation, as I mentioned.
All right, let's talk about this. You're a scientist, and
yes, I hope so.
Yeah, no, you are a very good one.
Thank you, Phil.
But you are camping out, or now your son is camping out at the Best Buy in Denver there, because why?
Well, every year we have usually been in front of the Best Buy in Denver on a Monday before Black Friday, and that was to get some good deals and also to get a little bit of attention from local news outlets for my career and the work that I do as a scientist. You know, science gets very little attention, Phil, in the media. It gets very little attention in the mass media.
That's true.
And anything that we could do to draw attention to the work that we do, and in my case, it's in the field of astronomy, then we want to do that. And the way I've done it is I have camped out at the Best Buy well in advance of Black Friday to get a little bit of attention from the news media. And what happened here today when I got the news from Florida, I think it's an example of how some people, they just don't want a man who is a single father, who has a boy that he's trying to raise the best way he knows how. They just don't want him to be successful. They want to somehow ruin that man's life and, by extension, that child's life.
All right, well, you are taking that a little personally, aren't you? There's a family here, and
I'm not taking it personally from the standpoint that they, I'm sure, knew that somewhere in America there was someone who was the first to camp out at a Best Buy.
Are you saying that this family in St. Petersburg, knowing that somewhere in America someone was camped out at a Best Buy, decided to get there earlier in order to ruin the lives of those people?
No, I'm saying that they decided to camp out at a Best Buy earlier because of their own selfish motives and because they don't have any concern for other people. If they did have concern for other people, they would recognize that in Denver, Colorado at least, is a single father with a son, a man trying to make the very best life he can for that boy, who camps out early at Best Buy so that we get a little bit of the local media's attention. Not a lot. Denver is a media-intensive city like many cities, and there's a lot going on. So whatever we could get, we've always been appreciative of. For this family in St. Petersburg to start camping out at their Best Buy earlier than we camp out at ours is an indication of how far we've fallen as a civilization. And so that's what we are hopefully trying to avoid.
Well, all right, before I get into any more, so you're really, you're not even there right now. Your son is, right?
My son Jeffrey is there right now. That's correct.
He's how old?
My son is 13 years old.
And you are at the University of Denver, and then you're on your way to Florida.
And I'm on my way to Florida for a conference tomorrow.
So are you going to see your son before you leave?
I most likely will not, Bill, because I'm going right to the airport. But Jeff knows that I have told him to stay in that line, that we have always been early in the line at Best Buy, and that he knows what to do. He's my son. And I think, along with a lot of people, and I'm very fortunate, he wants me to succeed.
I'm just curious about the wisdom of a 13-year-old boy by himself over the weekend.
Well, there'll be other people in line, and it's not about... there is wisdom there, Phil. Let me explain the wisdom. My son knows how important this is for me. And so my son, as well as... his uncle, my brother, as well as even my ex-wife. They all know that this is about me presenting a successful paper at Boca Raton.
You're going to go and present a paper at Boca Raton. Your son being first in line at Best Buy does what? It gets the name...
Well, the local media will know that that's Dr. Ron Tarter's son. He's in line at Best Buy, and we get a little bit of the publicity. A little bit. Only because this family in Florida has, for whatever reason, decided that they care not for a single man and his son, and they'll do whatever they have to do to draw attention to themselves, even if it means hurting a 13-year-old boy who is alone right now in line.
We're talking with Dr. Ron Tarter. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. Every year, Dr. Tarter gets in line at the Best Buy in Denver for the Black Friday sales, and they didn't get in line early enough. There's another couple or another family that got in line in Florida earlier. And you do this to get attention for your career.
Well, you're saying to get attention for your career as if it is a distasteful thing. Well, as I mentioned...
You made a very good point. I mean, science doesn't get a lot of attention, so whatever you can do to get some publicity...
Absolutely.
...you'll do, and I appreciate that. But you're on your way to this seminar now, and you've got your son in line at Best Buy, not you.
Yes, and what is your point about that? Because he's 13... And I told you that this is a young man who knows what's at stake. And
yeah, because he's a 13-year-old boy, and he will be alone over the weekend outside on the streets of Denver.
He's not on the streets of Denver. He's at a Best Buy. All right?
All right. And why is this boy being left alone again?
Well, my boy is, and Phil, you know what? I love my boy, and he is never, ever far from me in my heart. This family in Florida forced by hand. My son would not be alone were it not for the fact that this man, and I got to look at him, I got to look at this man in the newspaper, this family in Florida. He's what you would expect. And when I say pig, I don't mean this physically, I mean spiritually. This spiritual pig in Florida forcing by hand, making me leave my son alone on the street.
But aren't you concerned, Dr. Turner, that your kid isn't safe? He could be there alone. It's possible that no one will show up in line until tomorrow or Sunday or even Monday.
My boy knows what is important here, and that is that when the media shows up and he tells them that he is Dr. Ron Turner's son, that he has made me proud. I love my son very much. Please don't intimate that I do.
I'm not saying that at all, sir. I'm not saying you don't love your son. I'm saying, are you not concerned? Okay, it's currently 29 degrees in Denver. I don't know what he's wearing. Where's he going to sleep?
He has his sleeping bag. Here's what's concerning to me, Phil.
He has a sleeping bag, a down sleeping bag?
Here's what's concerning to me. That the spiritual pigs in Florida that decided to force my hand by camping out at the Best Buy there have not drawn your attention.
And Ron, Dr. Turner, it's difficult for me to if you say that a family in Florida decided to camp out at a Best Buy earlier than you, forcing you to go down and camp out at a Best Buy yourself, I certainly recognize that you consider that to be critical, but you've called them, quote, spiritual pigs. You're saying they're doing it on purpose.
Absolutely doing it on purpose, because they know that there's someone that is going, that has had the record, or someone that's been there earlier, but they've decided to camp there because they know somewhere in America a little boy is going to be by himself until Monday or Sunday.
Then why leave your boy there alone?
Because I have to present a paper in Boca Raton.
Why not get an adult that you know to stay with him?
I will not. There isn't an adult in my world or in Jeff's world that I trust enough to make sure that boy stays there all weekend. He's got a mother that would, let me explain, his mother would love to see me ruined. She'd love to see me ruined. His uncle would love to see me ruined. These are all people that are not interested at all in my success, but my son is. And I know that my son, by himself, you know, I can't get you to understand. You know,
I'm just asking, what if something happens to your son? What if he's robbed or hurt? Or would you not feel responsible?
No, it would be Best Buy's responsibility. You need to understand the law, mister. Okay? It would be the responsibility of Best Buy and this family of pigs in St. Petersburg, Florida.
I don't agree with you, sir.
What don't you agree with?
I don't agree that if something happens to your son, you've left your son in line at Best Buy. If something happens to your son, a 13-year-old boy, by himself as he's waiting for Black Friday while you go to Florida, you say that Best Buy is responsible and the family in Florida.
The family in Florida because they forced my hand, yes. Absolutely.
How is the family in Florida responsible?
Oh, well, I could go through it again if you want.
Well, you're telling me that they're responsible because they decided to go down and camp out at Best Buy before you do.
They have gone down and forced my hand, yes. And I've got to camp out at Best Buy. I have to leave for a scientific conference in Boca Raton, Florida. So my son is there alone. So, as I said, these spiritual pigs in St. Petersburg, Florida, have forced my son to be alone. Now, I will tell you this, Phil, and I'll answer your question. If anything happens to my son, Best Buy is responsible. Because they want people to camp out. They need people to camp out. And the family in St. Petersburg will also be named in an action because they thought they were going to be big shots by going down and being the first in line, and everyone thinks they're so great. Well, let's see how great they feel they are when a child turns up dead 3 miles away from where he was in line at Best Buy. I'm sorry to put it that way, Phil.
That you would think that way. Just blows my mind, all right?
I'm sorry to put it to you that way, Phil, but it's that serious.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, talking to Dr. Ron Turner tonight from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. He's on his way to a medical scientific conference in Florida, but he's left his 13-year-old son to wait in line at Best Buy over the weekend, on into the week, as they wait for the Black Friday deals. The boy is alone. Ron says that that's the price that his family's had to pay because of this family in St. Petersburg. They showed up early and they've endangered everybody else. He doesn't seem to be concerned. He says his son knows what's at stake, and so, you know, his son will do what his son has to do. The family down in St. Petersburg that Dr. Tarner has described as, quote, spiritual pigs, the Davenport family, they've pitched a pair of tents. They got down there at 10 o'clock on Wednesday morning. 877-876-PHIL. Does Dr. Tarner have a responsibility to this child who's going to be waiting in line all week? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
No, I don't think so.
Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner is a frequent guest of ours from the Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. He's in Denver tonight on your way to a scientific, to a science seminar. And is this a seminar of astronomers?
It's one of our organizations of astronomy, astronomers, cosmologists, Phil, in Boca Raton. But it's really a general academic conference.
All right, but you're going to be going, leaving your son at Best Buy in line in Denver, a 13-year-old.
If I could make a point here, Phil.
Just the question, and then yes, you may, and then we need to go to some phone calls. 13-year-old boy is in line so that he can get some media attention, because the scientific world doesn't often get media attention. Now, every day I see an article about science.
Well, you hold on, Bill. You may see an article about science. I didn't say. I said the work that I do doesn't get attention. I know you were about to probably say the name Hawking or someone like that. I can't imagine a name that could be mentioned to me that would cause more in terms of boredom. I've got nothing against Dr. Hawking. I'm bored hearing about him. If my son is in line at Best Buy and people ask him who he is, it gets some attention for my career. This is no different from dropping your son off to go into the restaurant and get a reservation while you park the car. And he would be...
And the fact that there may be some danger to him?
The fact that there might be danger to my boy... Mr. Hendry, I love my son. If anything were to happen to Jeffrey, I think that he would be happy to know that his death promoted my work, but nothing's going to happen to him. Nothing's going to happen to him. You were the one that, you know, talked about his mother wants him to turn up nude in a gully 3 miles from Best Buy. I don't.
His mother? I didn't say that.
Well, I can tell you that we've had those conversations.
877-876-PHIL. On to some phone calls tonight. Lucy, listening on WTKK Boston. Lucy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Phil. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I can't even believe what I'm hearing. This person is insane. He's crazy. He needs a doctor himself.
Well, I can't respond to that. Not a very intelligent series of comments.
I'm sorry?
Okay, what did you want to be specific, Lucy, or
yes, could you be more specific? You
no,
called me crazy.
You know,
I could for instance call you crazy. You're insane. There's a nice conversation.
Well, why do you feel? I mean, not that I disagree, Lucy, with
well,
your basic
well,
with your basic
he's
misgiving.
He's leaving his 13-year-old son alone at Best Buy.
Have you ever dropped your child off to go in and get reservations while you park the car?
And I'm
of course
sitting
you
here
have.
Listening. And I'm sitting
she,
here listening to him.
Can she hear me?
And,
she can't hear me, can she?
Wait a minute, hold on. What are you asking, Ron?
I'm asking the lady, haven't you ever... You're a school teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Lucy, where do you teach?
I teach middle school. I teach his son. I mean, I don't directly teach his son, but I teach kids his son's age.
Are you better at communicating your point of view than saying you're crazy and then a whole bunch of silence when you talk to children?
Well, actually,
yeah, that's my point,
when I said that, actually, when I said that you were crazy and I started to explain myself, you cut me off. So that was
no,
where my silence
I
came
was
from,
waiting
I'm not
for
you.
You. I was waiting
I'm not
for
going,
you to say something, and you had
I'm not
nothing
going,
to say. You realize that you had insulted me.
Well, hold on. I want to hear what Lucy has to say. She's explained herself now. All right, let's talk about this idea of dropping a child off to spend the night. And you know that I have misgivings as well about that, right. Dr. Tarner.
Yeah, and I've explained it. I've said to you that my son is doing this for the betterment of our family. What is unusual about that? I don't understand.
I'm listening to this person, and he said on the one hand, he doesn't trust any adult that he knows to go down there and accompany his son and get to leave him down there with a bunch of strangers.
That's how much I trust his mother, that I would leave it with a stranger first. Yes, you got it.
All right, we'll be back. Thank you, Lucy. Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here, 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Dr. Ron Tarner from, right now, the University of Denver, whose son is at a Best Buy in Denver. Which Best Buy is he at?
He's over on the one on Mexico Avenue. It's right near the school here, and I just talked to him on the cell phone. He actually just texted me. And he's having, I said, how are you? He said he's cold, you know, and this is kind of talk between a father and son. He said it's colder than a witch's, you know, and he used a naughty word there, I guess. And I laughed, and he said, but he's very proud of me.
And he's going to be spending the night there.
Yes. I said, you know you're spending the night there. And I said, you know that what you do when the media shows up is to make sure you tell them that you're Dr. Ron Tarner's son. And then I'm at the conference. He said yes, and he said he was very proud of me.
Did you ask him if he was okay?
I don't have to ask my son if he's okay. I know he's okay. I told him, Mr. Henry, if you'll pardon me, this is my son.
Yes, sir.
I told him, I said, no matter what, you're in that line, and you're in that line for good until Friday. I said, I'll see you when I get back Monday.
All right, so he's not going to be there all week by himself.
Of course he's not going to be there all week by himself. That's something his mother would do. I wouldn't do that. His mother would do that, Mr. Henry. His mother would leave him in line all week by himself, but his father wouldn't.
No, his father's leaving him in line by himself all weekend. 877.
What is that? Is that a quick shot to my, you know, is that a quick knee to my groin and then you run away?
No, sir. I'm not impressed all that much with leaving a child by himself in line at Best Buy so that you have some publicity. 877-876-PHIL. In Manchester, New Hampshire is Charlotte. Go ahead, Charlotte. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Ron Tarner.
Hi. I just think that someone needs to call DCF on this individual because you leave your child alone.
What?
He is how old? He's 13 or 14?
Well, now, why would I tell you that if you're going to call who? VCS.
VCS, the Department of Children and Families. Because this
we don't have that in Colorado. They don't call it that in Colorado.
Well, whatever they call it in Colorado.
My son is 13 years old, and I'm going to be back, and I'm going to be helping him. But he wants to be there by himself because
right,
he wants...
No, you didn't leave him with a tent. You didn't take appropriate measures. You could have gone down to the Boys and Girls Club in Denver and signed him up for the Big Brother program and gotten a Big Brother to stay with him, for goodness sake. You could have
had someone watching out for your son. Right. Yes, you're right, Charlotte. I could have done that. Or I could have just found out where the local sex offenders are living and taken him over to stay at one of their houses.
Well, now, wait a minute. Are you saying the boys, the Big Brothers?
No, I'm not saying anything about Big Brothers, but
you know what? I think you're paranoid, and I think you're very arrogant to think that, oh, if your son dies, okay, gets taken and is killed and is just tortured, possibly, that's okay, that will have furthered your career. That is
How did I ever say anything like that? I said that his mother, you know, I'll leave his mother out of it.
Yeah, leave his mother out of it, please, because the boy's in your custody this weekend. Is that right?
For the next 2 weeks, yes.
Leave his mother out of it. I want to talk to you about this.
What I said was this, Phil. God forbid my son turned up nude in a gully, but if that happened, he would be happy knowing it would promote my career, yes.
He is not old enough to make that decision. He's not old enough.
I'm not saying he's making that decision. I'm saying
18.
What kind of a decision? Nobody would make a decision like that.
I'm not saying he's making that decision.
No child is capable of making a decision like that.
No adult should
make to look out for him, sir.
Ma'am, no adult should make a decision like that. Turning up nude in a gully? Oh, my God.
Well, then why are you talking that way? Why would you say something like that? That's a frightening prospect.
That's what you said.
You said he would be proud of you. You said he would be happy knowing that he's gone on to further your career.
That's what you said, Ron.
No, I didn't. Well, what I said was the following thing. I said that my son knows I'm very proud of him, and he has to do this. And it, God forbid, if
why does he have
to
do this?
Son,
are you waiting for a specific item? Is that why he has to do this?
Yes, yes. There was a black side by side coming in.
Well, so okay. What?
Mr. Henry, can I ask you a question? Could you talk more like a man and not a woman?
What does that mean?
So what?
That's the way you sound. Well, see, the lady thinks it's funny, too.
Well, we're not talking about me. You have me so outraged. You got a little boy standing in line for a black side-by-side. So what?
Because they didn't have them in black. They had them in white, and Jeffrey is standing in line for it.
Oh, my God. And this is over a color? This is over a color of a side-by-side. My God.
Do you know what's hypocritical about this?
His mother has partial custody.
Oh, that's right. His mother never, ever changes out of her underwear with him standing
there.
Never.
Oh, God almighty. Okay, there are two sides to every story.
Yeah.
Okay,
oh, now
just
two sides.
Her opinion of you. And I think there's a reason why you don't have any individuals that you can trust in your life. I think there's a reason for that. And I think the reason is that you are so focused on you and you're the center of the universe that you don't realize that your son is in serious danger right now.
You know, man, the other hypocrisy of this is you've never stood in line at a Best Buy for a side-by-side. You try to get me to believe that, Mr.
Henry. It's not the same as dropping your child off to go into a restaurant. You know that that restaurant is open.
The restaurant is open. And yet, what's in the restaurant? Alcoholics.
Oh, my God.
All right, Charlotte. Yeah.
Are you telling me there aren't alcoholics in restaurants?
Well, come on, man. I mean, so you send a child into a restaurant to say, hey, put my family name down. My mom and dad are going to be in a minute. And you're worried about what?
I'm worried what any adult, any rational adult would be worried of. An alcoholic wheeling out of the bar.
You're going to be there for him. This isn't parking the car. This is flying to Florida.
I have to go for this. You don't understand what this means for the work that I've been doing. I'm right at the edge, right at a very critical edge with my work.
So that's worth your son's life?
My son will always be my son, whether in this world or the next.
Oh, that's the sickest thing in the world, Ron, and you know it is, and you're taking a chance, you're rolling the dice. I know what you're doing. You don't want your wife to have custody of your kid this weekend, so you're leaving him out there, and you're taking advantage of the fact that your son loves you very much, is very proud of you.
Yes, he is. Very proud of me.
Yeah, he is, as any boy would be of his dad or want to be. You're taking advantage of that. You're going out of town, and that boy is...
What do you keep calling a boy for? Why can't you call him what he is, a young man?
He's a boy at the age of 13. Charlotte, I got to run. Thank you for your call. 877-876-PHIL. Is it Regine in New York on WWRL? Regine, go ahead.
Yes, I can't believe how irrational this doctor is. I can't believe that Child Protective Services does not exist in Colorado. And I can't believe that all I've heard from him is I. You have brainwashed and manipulated that young man. Beyond love. I don't know how you can compare yourself to be a parent. I don't know how you're saying that you're better than your wife. If she would leave him now for a week, what makes you any better leaving him there for a weekend, facing the elements alone, facing the unknown? We are living in a world where we don't even know walking in the street the next day, whether or not we're coming home, and you're leaving him there on the weekend by himself can go to Florida for a conference. I can't believe that you're calling yourself a parent.
How do you know she goes to Florida?
And that you're calling yourself you're better than your wife.
Bam, first of all, the excitement of life that I've taught my son, it's not knowing whether you're going to come back from wherever it is you're going. That makes life challenging.
What kind of a thing to say to a child is that?
This woman is almost at the verge of tears, talking about my boy waiting in line for a refrigerator. Wow.
Children love their parents unconditionally. And no matter what wrong they may do, they will still love them. You, on the other hand, are an adult, and you're supposed to be an educated adult at that.
Yes, I am.
And you're acting as if you're from some insane asylum.
No, ma'am, I'm trying to say to you that I'm on the edge of the very critical edge of the work I've been doing.
See, again,
if
it's your son is not
yes.
on that edge. You're on that edge.
My son is not on the edge. I'm doing my work for my son. And my son, when I come back from Boca Raton...
If you were doing it for your son, he would not be out in some parking lot alone for a weekend waiting for the media to come. Suppose the media doesn't come. Then what?
Oh, right.
It is a waste.
Media is Black Friday, the media won't be there? Come on.
They won't
be there
for him.
What makes you think...
They'll be there for the first...
Except him.
For the first guy in line.
Your limelight has been stolen by someone in Florida. What's the purpose of your son still being there?
First of all, my son is learning about the spiritual pigs in St. Petersburg.
There's
who
nothing spiritual
and
material objects.
No, those people in St. Petersburg are pigs because they parked their tent and their rear ends a full 3 days before we were going to. They do.
And what makes you any different than they are? Because they got there before you?
Because I don't sit there and make a spectacle of myself with tents and a
spectacle
and a
now.
Side of beef. No, I'm trying to say that the work I'm doing
is...
What work are you doing?
This woman, Phil, is the reason why I think human subjects for experimentation is moral.
What does that mean?
Whatever you want it to mean.
This woman is the
This woman, ma'am, listening to you, I'd much rather you'd be more valuable... experimenting on.
I think you've been experimenting on.
What kind of work are you doing?
You know that the vaccine that I'm developing will cross the threshold from animal to human life.
All right, I'm going to take a break here. Regine, thank you. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is Dr. Ron Tarner. His son is out in line at Best Buy in Denver. Is he putting his son at an unnecessary risk just so his family can be the first in line so that the media will interview his son and his son can promote his dad's work at a scientific seminar? And now I find out he's going to be promoting some vaccine or injection that will cross the animal and human barrier. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and on the line, Dr. Ron Tarner. You are in the University of Denver. You're on your way to Boca Raton when?
I'm heading to Boca Raton tomorrow, Phil.
Tell me again the benefit of putting a 13-year-old boy in line at Best Buy while you go off for 2 days to give a paper to a scientific seminar. You know,
I've answered that question a half a dozen times.
Well, I'd like you to do it again.
All right, I will be very happy to, but I would like you not to be prejudiced against me because you somehow have more respect for a family of people that set up a spit, chairs, a TV, and make a parking lot their home down at Peterstown, or wherever this place is.
St. Petersburg, Florida.
St. Petersburg, Florida. I am presenting a scientific paper at the seminar at Lynn University in Boca Raton tomorrow. It is on the subject of utilizing hormonal therapy that crosses the barrier between beast and man. I can, and I will, demonstrate that we can improve the human species by crossing that animal barrier. My son will be in line at Best Buy earlier than usual because of this family of spiritual pigs, because the media will be there, and when they ask him who he is, he can say, I'm Dr. Rod Tyler's son. Now, to the question of whether my son is safe or not, he's a lot safer standing in a parking lot at 29 degrees. He has a down-filled sleeping bag than he would ever be with my ex-wife's brother.
And what are you saying about the ex-wife's brother?
I'm not saying anything other than he... I'm not saying anything illegal, but I am saying he... I've never seen... May I speak candidly?
Go ahead.
I've never seen a white man drink malt liquor the way he does, and I apologize.
Well, okay, so your racism now...
No, sir. That is not... You asked me if I could speak candidly.
Yeah, you did, and I said yes, and your candid speech came out. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go to Don in Nashville. Go ahead, Don. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. I you may be an intelligent man, but you don't have a lick of common sense. I think the police ought to be there to pick you up. I think you ought to be thrown in prison and let the inmates at the prison take care of you.
On what charge?
Listen, will you let me finish, sir?
You have
the way
no
they
charges.
Take care of people who abuse children. I have no idea how you can consider yourself a parent. I don't even think you should have a pet snake. I have seen children taken away from their parents for less than what you have done.
Oh, my God.
And I'd like to know where the police
child.
Are and why.
I haven't touched the child.
And the fact that your wife is not there to get that kid, I don't have too much respect for her as a mother.
Well,
I have a 27-year-old child myself, and I tell you what, I never once ever left her alone for a weekend out in a parking lot. And anybody that's
27
does,
and you don't leave her alone.
And they should let the inmates in the prison and maximum security take care of you.
Well, I don't think
because you got no common sense, none. You ought to be neutered. You ought to be neutered so you can never have another child again. You are the most irresponsible person I have ever met.
You sound like Obama now. You sound like the Obama health care plan now. You want to neuter me like the doctor.
I am a mother. I am a mother who raised
yeah, and your 27-year-old daughter still lives at home.
I want my child first before anything else in this world. And at the age of 27, I still should be first. Your needs,
my child
your
is first.
Should not count. You had a kid. That's your responsibility. And I'm telling you what.
My
I hope
is
the God
first,
the police are in close return when you get off the plane and arrest you for child neglect. And
the
I hope
police
they throw
will
you
listen
in
to my paper.
Let them handle
for child, you. You just said for child
neglect. Let me tell
you.
You
were say the N-word.
There's a special place for you, sir, where you go.
Yes. It's called the suite at the Boca Raton Sheraton.
You know what?
And I can tell you something.
You may have a breakthrough. You may have a breakthrough.
Yes, I have.
Vaccine or whatever it is you're making. I hope you
yes,
never succeed for what you've done to your kid.
Mind your tongue, ma'am.
You got a
because
whole
what
lot
I'm
of
doing
bad
now.
Karma coming your way.
What I am doing
I'm sorry,
now
I'm
will
telling you
cross.
What? I'm not a real religious person, but I'm going to get down on my knees tonight. I'm going to pray that they arrest you and that they take your child away from you and you never see him again.
And if they don't take my child away from me and arrest me, that means God doesn't listen to you.
You're the most irresponsible person I have ever heard.
What would you say if I told you that the vaccine I'm working on will allow man to evolve back into animal form?
Sir, the danger you put your child in, you don't deserve to succeed.
Ma'am, I am telling you the vaccine I'm working on will allow you
for
to evolve back into animal
form. For what you've done to your child, for what you've done to your child,
oh
I hope
my God.
You never succeed
you,
in your entire
so
life.
You're telling me that you would take scientific research back 100 years that man on the verge
you
of being able to evolve
child.
Into a wolf
you
and you would
child.
Put the child before
you
that?
Yes,
child.
That's what we're saying. Even your scientific research.
No,
wait a minute.
Something. I make minimum wage.
I
make minimum wage. I certainly could afford to go buy a refrigerator or whatever it is that you're making your kid wait outside on a weekend by himself.
Yeah.
I, even at minimum wage, I could go and buy one. I certainly would not sell my child.
You don't understand. He's going to be the first at Best Buy. He's going to be in line first at Best Buy for Black Friday.
I don't care about
that. That's why. It's got nothing to do with the side-by-side.
Then why'd you say side-by-side?
Because it happens to be in black. Side-by-side black is very rare.
For a refrigerator. You sold your child out for a refrigerator, and you ought to be arrested.
No, I did not. I sold him out for a vaccine that helps us mutate into wolf form.
You ought to be arrested, sir.
Boy, I'll tell you, and some of the stuff you're saying here, Dr. Turner, about you're working on a vaccine that allows us to evolve back into wolf form. What is that?
Merely the most groundbreaking experiment that's ever been conducted, but this woman would have it flushed down the toilet.
In my house. And I'm going to get down on my knees, and I'm going to pray to God.
Yeah, you're talking about getting on your knees a lot.
They're there to pick you up when you land in Boca Raton, and I hope to God they put you in maximum security with the worst
inmates. They're going to give me an escort. They're going to give me a police escort to the Sheraton. The presidential suite.
All right. Very well said. Very well said, ma'am. I don't know what else to say. I think she said it all.
She would flush 50 years of research down the toilet right when I'm on the verge of gaining that secret of life. Where
shut up. Evolving into wolf form. We'll be back. Art Griego next hour. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
She put her full hand on my breast.
Ask me in another couple of weeks.
The truth is that when you meditate, it allows
I am a Republican. I would run as a Republican.
Things are bad.
My head was shaking.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And truth is our bitch. Through the looking glass every night we go. And we go places other talk shows wish, pray, hope, you know, that they could and they can't, man. But that's why you got us. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And our website, philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for live streaming video, live streaming audio, all of our archives, thousands of hours. And we have our uncensored pre-show rants. We got our classic Phil podcast. We've got our regular podcast. We got it all, baby. The news feed. Guaranteed email response from Phil if you're a BSP. So check it out. A Florida family is the first in the nation to camp outside a Best Buy for Black Friday sales. A Florida family. The first in the nation to camp outside of a Best Buy for the Black Friday sales coming up on Friday after Thanksgiving. And joining us to discuss this in our second hour is Dr. Ron Turner, who we have held over, and he's been gracious enough to stay with us. 877-876-PHIL. Our affiliate spotlight tonight, KKAT 860 AM in Salt Lake City and KFQD 750 AM in Anchorage, Alaska. And coming up tomorrow night, our Saturday night show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio in the city of Los Angeles, which is our hometown here. So we're starting a Saturday night show over there on KFI as well. 877-876-PHIL. Again, Dr. Ron Turner joining us, who is on his way to Boca Raton tomorrow for some kind of a science conference. I'm not exactly sure what that is, Dr. Turner. I don't think you've actually told us, but you say that you have a vaccine.
That is correct, Bill, and it's a revolutionary work from the standpoint of what it's going to be towards treating disease.
All right, I understand that, and I want to talk about that, but in order for you to be at this conference tomorrow, you've left your son in line at Best Buy in Denver, and it's 29 degrees right now in Denver, and I don't know how much colder it's going to get.
Well, I have to tell you, I really resent what a lot of people have been saying here.
Hold on, let me just recap. Okay.
All right.
And then I definitely want to hear what you're saying, but this is what I know. Your son is by himself outside of a Best Buy because the family in Florida got there before you guys, so you want to be there early in order to capitalize on media attention. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
And the media attention you want to capitalize on will allow your son, your 13-year-old son, to mention you to the media.
That is correct. His father, who he is very proud of, You know, I'm sorry that you're not going to interview Jeff, and I know that you asked to interview him, and I told you that you could not, because he is a minor.
Well, you have him doing so many other things.
Hold on, because he is a minor, because he's very, very proud of me, Bill. On Thanksgiving Day, I have a friend from the University of Denver who has invited us, meaning myself and Jeff, to Thanksgiving dinner. And I said to Jeffrey, you understand that staying in line is going to help Dad? And he said, yes. Now, understand, this is a boy who doesn't care that he's missing Thanksgiving dinner at my friend's house. He'll stand there in line. We're going to bring him a covered plate.
And your 13-year-old son is not going to be having Thanksgiving dinner with you?
Excuse me, Mr. Henry, but yes, he is.
And well, you said that he's going to be in line.
He's going to be in line. He's going to be spiritually having Thanksgiving dinner with a father that's very proud of him. But I need him there in case the media comes by to interview people about being in line at Best Buy.
And did you say that he is in line at Best Buy for anything in particular?
Yes, I did. And I got to tell you something, Phil. I'm laughing. You sound very announcery. Did you say he was at Best Buy? Blah, 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 blah. You sound very as if you're indicting me.
All right. Did you say he's in line at Best Buy for something in particular?
Yes, I did.
And what is that?
You know what it is because I told you.
Would you please tell my audience? I mean,
yes, it's a side-by-side refrigerator. It's black. And they didn't have black. All right. My son is happy for me. And he's willing to make the sacrifices necessary for my work. Why is that bad? Why do you treat it as a crime?
Because as one lady pointed out last hour, if you're asking me, Ron, I'm going to tell you, as one lady pointed out last hour, he's a little boy.
Right, that was what the lady said. Now, what do you think?
I agree with that.
You agree with it because that's what she said and you thought, oh, that's a great idea. That's my argument.
No, that is not what I... You know something? You must think that the idea of caring for a child is very unique. It's not. And I agree with what she said because he's a kid, and those are not decisions that kids make. I personally, if you want my honest opinion, I'm sick and tired of the world we live in where we are increasingly treating children under the age of 18 more and more like adults. More and more as if, oh, they have the right and they have the knowledge and they have the wisdom to make that decision. More and more as if we sexualize them.
I beg your pardon, Mr. Henry. I'm not sexualizing my son.
No, you're not doing that, but you are basically treating him like an adult and saying, well, he's old enough, he can make this decision. You know,
he's not a little boy. He's mature and old enough to be on his own for a few days. He's 13. And I think a week away from his baba. Yeah, that's really at the bottom line of this, isn't it? Is it, Mr. Henry?
No, it isn't. You mean making him into a mama's boy?
That's what you, and I noticed there were a number of the women that I talked to last hour, and this is what's going on in our country. These women, what they want to do, I don't know if you know this or not, what they want to do, they want to geld the American male. They want to take away what's left of our masculinity, and they want to take every little boy and turn him into a baba boy. I will not allow that to happen to my son. I regret marrying his mother. I've said it a billion times. But she's not getting her butt hooks into him. And I've got that boy through Thanksgiving. So she will not be allowed to have her hooks in him. My brother-in-law won't be able to have his butt hooks in him. And certainly not my father-in-law, who the only thing he likes better than a bottle of Hennessy is a stack of Playboys.
You don't like that woman's family? You don't like her, do you?
No, I do not. No, sir, I do not.
877-876-PHIL. Let's take a phone call, and we're on with Dr. Ron Tarner here from Mountain Meadow Observatory. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Thank you. Hey, how you doing, Phil? Hey, listen. Are you there?
Hello? We're here, yep.
Yeah, Phil, I had originally called in to tell you that, you know, I'm kind of taking a different angle at this. I have a daughter. When I take her to the mall, she's 15. I wait outside the bathroom for her to come in and go out. You know, it's a different world these days. The doctor really needs to pay more attention to his son. The other thing I see here is...
I don't understand what you mean about waiting for your daughter in a bathroom. What does that mean?
Well, you got to watch your children, sir. You know, the...
No, I know that. I understand that. But in a mall, you know, the teenagers go to malls all the time.
Yeah.
Young people are in malls all the time.
And you know what? But listening to the other callers, and I got to take a different angle at this, you know, maybe this child is safer where he is, Phil, you know, away from his father and the rest of that family, because he obviously has a problem. This is almost
what,
like...
What problem do I... Excuse me, sir. You know, you could say I have a problem, but I love my son, and my son wants to do this for his father. I have no choice. I've got to go to Boca Raton. I've got to present this paper.
Your son has a choice. He doesn't have to be outside the Best Buy.
Another family in where? What state? This man's in Florida. Some group of trailer, you know what? They're parked out in front of a Best Buy in St. Petersburg right now. What am I supposed to do about that?
Well, in St. Petersburg, sir, it's probably about 60 degrees in St. Petersburg right now. It's
good point. Very good point.
And there
29 degrees in Denver.
Yeah, 29 right. degrees. You guys keep leading on 29 degrees in Denver as if there's no such thing as a jacket.
Well, okay, so there's a jacket, you know, and there are sleeping bags. But there's one thing that he doesn't have, his father.
He has his father. He wants me. What do you say to a kid that wants his old man to go to Boca Raton?
Well, you're not in Boca Raton right now, so why aren't you with this man right now?
Because I'm actually finishing up I'm finishing up at the lab in Denver. I'm on my way to the airport.
So you can't even be with this boy right now?
I think I just answered your question, Mr. Henry. You know, why is it that you guys don't get this? I'll tell you why. It's the reason that I said at the beginning, the women that I talked to last hour, the men of this country have had their you-know-whats taken away from them and placed in a jar somewhere. And until such time as we get back our ability to make our own decisions and...
Our ability to make our own decisions and take care of our own children as opposed to going to Boca Raton. Steve, thank you. Thank you. Very good call. 877-876-PHIL. And
you've done that before. Can I mention something?
Yeah.
Every time you go to your commercial break, thank you, very good call, thank you, very good call. And that is your way of digging it in a little bit, isn't it? That's your way of, you see an open wound that I have, and you stick your, or you put iodine on it, huh? Is that what you do?
No, that's not what I do.
Well, don't say it like you think I'm nuts.
Of course I think that there's something wrong with anybody that says, I got to go to Boca Raton because there's a vaccine that I'll be unveiling that allows man to blur the line between human and animal. My son is there because he's very proud of the work I'm doing, so he's going to stand in line alone at Best Buy, alone in 29-degree weather, alone with God knows how many strangers, over the weekend by himself in a parking lot, because another family got to Best Buy earlier, so you guys want to make sure you get the media attention too, and your son will be talking about you. And that's far preferable for him than staying with your wife, your ex-wife, your brother-in-law, or your father-in-law with his Hennessy and his Playboys.
Very good. That's exactly right. Very good.
Yeah, thank you. 877-87. I'll tell you something right now. All men want to be successful, and all men want their children to be proud of them. But no man sacrifices a child to the altar of his own career and ego. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be back with Dr. Ron Tarner on the subject of Black Friday, waiting in line for Black Friday, and some vaccine that blurs the line between man and animal on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Dr. Ron Tarner from Mountain Meadow Observatory in Cloverdale, Colorado. He's in Denver, Colorado tonight on his way to Boca Raton tomorrow for a conference where I understand you'll be unveiling some work that you've been doing. You'll be reading a paper on some work you've been doing, sir. But again, I want to say, as the other callers have indicated, you know, this is a boy of 13. This is a child by himself, sir, in a day and age, and certainly we've been in that day and age for a long time, where children are simply not safe.
You know, Phil, I'm sorry to have to bring this up, but you're talking about my son. And I just heard you while you were playing, the commercial, during the commercial, and I heard you talking to your producer about a D-Day and a landing craft being hit by a rocket that killed a man's brother. Now, how can you get your kicks talking about a guy's brother getting blown to bits and talk about...
I didn't talk about that getting my kicks. I was looking at a show...
No, sir, hold on. You're talking about my son and how I don't protect my son, and you're talking about a guy's brother getting blown up in a landing craft. Yeah, I find the hypocrisy, sir.
Dr. Tarner, I brought that up as a way of conversation and curiosity to my producer and to my engineer. I'm watching this show, and I saw this man, Mr. Ellers, okay?
I don't know who he is. Who cares about him?
He won the Congressional Medal of Honor, and his brother he saw killed on Omaha Beach.
And you think that's funny?
Why would you say I think that's funny?
Well, then why are you assuming that I think... that my son's life is valuable. It's valuable if he helps me too. Am I valuable if I don't help my son?
No, you are not.
Is my son valuable if he doesn't help me? No, he is not.
And yes, he is.
Well, you have a different philosophy.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL, on to Tupelo, Mississippi, WKMQ. Jennifer, hi. Here is Jennifer. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. Ron Tarner. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir, I think you're being very much... Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you fine, yes.
Yes, I think you're being much too materialistic, and you're obviously using your son... One, to get this refrigerator that apparently is more important to you than your son's health and well-being. And,
no, it's not.
And two, you're using him to get some kind of media coverage so that he can talk about you. You know, why can't you do this on your own? Why do you have to use your son and leave him alone all weekend long in that cool degree weather with, I'm assuming, no food or anything?
I gave my son $20 for the delivery. He's not allowed to leave the line in case someone tries to get in front of him. So, and there's a porta potty on site, but he's also. What I've done is I've given him a jar.
A jar. Is that to use for the bathroom?
You can't leave the line.
Oh my goodness! You're humiliating your son.
No, I'm not. My son wants to do this.
And not only that, the women of the United States of America are not trying to demasculine men, okay?
Yes, they are.
There's something wrong with you, sir. You need some serious help.
Do you have sons?
Okay.
Do you have sons?
And have you not made it to the airport yet?
People seem to want to get me out of town. You want to get me out of town so fast. I'm finishing up my work.
Okay, I don't even care to talk to you very much longer, but I'm just saying you're obviously using your son, and you do not deserve your son. My son wants to see me present on this News Talk radio show. I don't want to say anymore.
Thank you, sir. That's what she does. That's what she calls you, Phil, sir.
Thank you very much, Jennifer. I'm Phil.
She doesn't care what your name is. She doesn't care. She's using you. That's the way women. That's right there. That's proof. As she said, what did you hear her? She said that the women of America wanted a demasculine.
Yeah.
Well, that's not very literate.
You know something, Ron? The lady is her point was made very, very well. All right.
Look, my son is fine. My son has a jacket, a sleeping bag. His asthma medication was filled.
Asthma medication. So this child has asthma.
Do you have asthma? Do you know anyone who has asthma? Do you know how it is controlled very easily?
You've got a 13-year-old out there, 29-degree weather.
You can talk all you want. My son wants that paper delivered on blurring the line between human and animal, and he wants it delivered at 10 o'clock, bright and early, Sunday morning, right there in the banquet room of the Boca Sheridan.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to another phone call. This is Bill, listening on WTLS tonight. Bill, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Dr. Turner, I want to tell you...
Yes, sir.
You're an idiot.
What's that?
You're an idiot.
You've obviously never been to a Black Friday at all at any store.
Yes, I have.
I used to do security, sir, and I've seen people almost trampled. What are you doing? What are you thinking? Sending a kid in there to do something that you're afraid to do. You're obviously afraid to do it, or you would be doing it yourself.
So you're calling me chicken, is that it? You call me chicken?
Do what?
Are you calling me chicken?
I'm absolutely calling you chicken, sir.
Maybe that's it. Maybe you're gutless.
You're calling me gutless. I just want to be clear. You're calling me gutless.
You're putting your son's life in danger because you're greed. You're an idiot. I've done security at stores where people were almost trampled. I was almost trampled, sir. And I'm an adult.
They shouldn't have had you doing security then, should they? Are you telling me that I've got a big yellow stripe going up my back?
Yes, that's what he's saying. That's what I'm saying.
I got a big, bright yellow stripe, huh?
Yeah, banana yellow.
Banana yellow?
Right, bright yellow. A big, bright yellow stripe going up your back.
So everything that I've said about having a paper that I'm delivering on blurring the line between man and...
Yeah, man and animal and all this stuff, yes.
That's garbage. That's garbage.
I beg your pardon?
That is garbage.
What do you mean by that?
That's nothing compared to a child's life. Nothing. There's nothing.
A vaccine. A vaccine that could prevent lycanthropia, and you say that's garbage. A vaccine that can finally stop what has bedeviled mankind for centuries.
Lycanthropia?
Yes.
That's a psychological condition.
It has not bothered me a minute, sir.
Lycanthropia hasn't bothered you yet.
It has.
But if they find you
not bothered me. And it will
not yet. Oh, really? What if they find you with your throat ripped out some morning? And an eviscerated sheep nearby, just thrown in for, you know.
All right. 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Henry.
Lycanthropia.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and our website is philhenryshow.com. So if you're listening to us or you choose to watch us, you can do that. If you're around, I don't know, if you're not around a radio station that carries the show, which is very, very possible, you can always check us every night on our live streaming video cast at philhenryshow.com. And if you have a mobile phone, you can watch our video cast mobile on your Evo or on your Android phone. And as we continue to venture together into this marvelous world of the new delivery system of content is what we're calling it now. We no longer call it radio. We just call it whatever delivery system you have of content. We're going to have ourselves ready for live streaming video on iPhone as well, because we're going to be going HD in the next couple of months and a lot of different things. So check us out, philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. On the line with me is our Vice President of Syndication, David G. Hall, who right now is, I think he's in Pasadena, having some dinner, a late dinner. David, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good, Phil.
And so tomorrow night, and we've been talking to our national audience, we're talking to our Los Angeles audience. We're on in Los Angeles on KTLK, and we are going to be acquiring a second affiliate.
That's correct, and this was a negotiation that was very, very well. It wasn't tough, but it was one in which I had to walk a very fine line. I don't know if you ever saw the old TV show Kung Fu.
Yeah.
At the end of the. What they would show you in Kung Fu at the beginning is the way that the Kung Fu monk was graduated from the Kung Fu monastery. He had to walk on rice paper without tearing the rice paper.
Yes, exactly, because his step had to be very light.
Yeah, his step, the way he stepped had to be so delicate and so light that no one could hear him. So And that is, and I say this with as much humility as I can, that's, if you want to know what I looked like, and not that I looked this way, but if you wanted a mental picture of what my negotiation with KFI was like, imagine me as a kung fu monk walking barefoot on rice paper.
Okay.
So that is what I did. And
tell me, what does that mean?
Well, what it means, what does it mean? It means that I was, you know the TV show Kung Fu, right?
Yes, I know the TV show, yeah.
All right, I was walking like that.
No, I know, you're symbolically, okay.
No, not symbolically. That's what I did every day when I went there to negotiate for you on behalf of your show. I took off my shoes, and I tiptoed through the hallways. I'm kidding around.
Yeah, will you talk serious to me?
I'm joking, but what I am saying to you is this. It was a interesting negotiation. KFI is obviously, Phil, a radio station that you started out in Los Angeles on. KTLK is their sister station. You're on in New York at WWRL. You're on in Chicago at WKRS. Miami at Waxy. WCFO in Atlanta. We've got Flip TNT in Washington, D.C., and on at KNEW in San Francisco, which, of course, is a great Cairo in Seattle, KFMB in San Diego. We've got a lot of wonderful affiliates all over the country, Dallas, Houston. Now, with the Saturday Night Show in Los Angeles, you have an opportunity to tap into the second largest talk radio audience in America, second only to It starts with a W.
Okay, so it's east of the Mississippi.
What's that mean? East of the Mississippi.
If it's a W, it's an East Coast or Eastern station.
But what does that mean, east of the Mississippi? What does that mean?
That's where all the W's are.
Don't be a radio geek. What is it?
If you said W, that's what I'm saying, okay?
Well, W is, stations that are W are on the East Coast.
Yeah, they're on the East Coast. They're also in central.
Central what? Central America? What do you mean central?
Chicago. Is that East Coast?
No, but what do you mean Chicago? Because I know there's a station in Minneapolis, KSTP, right?
Yeah.
Okay, where's Minneapolis? Oh, excuse me. That's central too, ain't it? And there's a station in Pittsburgh called KDKA. And there's a station in Philadelphia called KYW. So what are you talking about?
David, I know.
No, what are you talking about?
I'm telling you that the FCC at one point designated all stations east of the Mississippi would start with a W.
Well, guess what? They don't.
Well, way back when, you're right.
What do you mean way back when? What?
You're talking about KDKA in Pittsburgh? KDKA in Pittsburgh goes back to the 20s.
Yeah, well, so do a lot of stations.
All right, well, that's what they called it then. They didn't change the call letters because they'd already had the call letters set.
Well, I don't know, but I can tell you that the only thing about going on KFI is that it's tricky because, and this is why I'm on with you right now, Phil. I want, and your listeners will be interested in this. When you say KFI, you're gonna want to say another letter because there's four letters usually in KFI. You know, like KFIG, KFIG, or say, KFIG. There is a KFIG, in fact, in Fresno. But or you may want to say KFIN or KFIN or just. But no, don't do that. All right.
No, I understand.
Okay, so you're not tempted to say another letter?
No, I'm not.
What is it with you, man? You know all about where the West Coast stations are and the W and it.
But no, what's so weird about that?
It's got three letters.
Yeah, there's some stations that have three.
Oh, there's some stations. Everybody knows that every station has four. This has got three. Now, right there, I'm bothered. And I said to them when I was negotiating with them, is there a way Phil can say another letter? So you're telling me that I was wasting my time.
If that's what you brought up in negotiations with KFI, yeah, you were wasting time, all right. What do I care?
Well, what do you want?
Well, I'd rather, if you're going to negotiate on my behalf, money is one thing, there's a lot of things that we talked about in terms of contractual obligation. I don't need another letter to say.
You don't need a boy. You really are something, aren't you? You're just... Tonight, you're on top of the world. I know your ego's got you, doesn't it? Your ego flying high because you're on KFI tomorrow night. You know, you've been on a lot of radio stations in a lot of years, Phil, and I don't mind telling your audience it ain't worked out all that good. So would you mind doing me a favor? Just a little favor, Phil?
Yeah.
How about making this one work out? All right? That's why I went in there, and I tried to do my best.
Yeah, okay. So, look, you know, we really want this to be a success for Phil. Can he have another letter to say?
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
Oh, come on.
There's three letters, man.
Yeah, there's all kinds of stations with three letters, okay?
All kinds of... If I was a dork reading broadcasting back issues, yeah, I think there were two. You know?
Well, you just brought up one, KYW in Philly, and there's WOR in New York, and there's KNX and KFI in L.A., and there's KGO in San Francisco, and there's KYA in San Francisco. It used to be, anyway, KYA in San Francisco, KOA in Denver, and...
Here we go. We're going down memory lane now with Radio Dork. Yeah? What else?
I'm telling you how many three letters there are.
Well, I ain't never heard of them, and that's why I try to negotiate to get another letter for you. All right? You don't appreciate that. The other thing that I tried to do is to make sure, all right, that you have every opportunity to succeed on this station. And to that point, I wanted to see if all the other stations in L.A. would just turn their transmitters off.
And yeah, that's very funny, too. All right, are you...
Well, that's about the only way you're going to succeed. No, I'm kidding. I
thanks a lot, okay.
Well, Chief, let's...
What are you looking at?
That is pretty good to get another letter.
How come we only have three?
Are you guys serious with that or something?
What?
What do you mean, how come they only got three? Some stations had three.
Yeah, I noticed that, man. They don't make no three anymore.
They ought to make three letters because it's more fun and everything.
I don't care. They don't make three, they don't make three, man. They used to do three, now they do four.
Probably ran out of a different combination, huh?
Maybe. You know, and how many different combinations are there of three letters starting with K? How many combinations are there three letters starting with W? W-A-B, W-A-C, W-A...
Well, you can't say whack. You got to say whack radio.
Yeah, hey, it's 2 o'clock on the whack.
I don't know, man, and I don't really, you know, it's not important to me. But if you're going to sit down and negotiate with somebody on my behalf, hey, let's get Phil something. Tell you what, can you guys add a letter? 877-876-PHIL. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So, yeah, tomorrow night, 7 o'clock Pacific, it's the Phil Hendry Show on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio there in Los Angeles, and that's on Saturday nights. Now, we wanted to tell you about Donald Trump running for president. Is that right? Yeah, Donald Trump is thinking about running for prez, and he is eyeing the White House for the second time. The first was a Donald Trump run, I believe, back in 1999. Here is Donald Trump.
I am a Republican. I would run as a Republican, yes. Well, I'm going to make a decision probably by June.
You're worth more than $1 billion. How much are you willing to spend?
Oh, I'd spend a lot. Yeah, I'm worth a lot.
I'm having a hard time figuring out how serious you are about this. You're obviously passionate about a lot of issues, but you've walked up to this line.
I'm passionate about the country.
So this isn't another reality show?
No, I've done very well. I've had a show that for many nights was the number one show on television. I don't need that.
Yeah, audio courtesy of ABC. Of course he's serious, Stephanopoulos. He's not fooling around. What a silly question. That's about as stupid a question as the one that they used to ask about Andy Kaufman. Do you think he's still alive? Yes, he's serious. That's not the question. Will the voters take him serious? That's the question. Anyway, Trump, the brash billionaire star of his own reality show, which was number one for 8 million years. I mean... Anyway, he is considering a run as a Republican in 2012. One principal policy as president. Now, listen to this. This doesn't sound like a joke. One principal policy as president would be to take on China's mighty economy. China, quote, is getting away with murder, end quote, says Trump, by manipulating its currency to U.S. disadvantage. He said, calling the United States a whipping post. Well, the whipping post is what we get tied to, Mr. Trump. It would be whipping boy. Anyway, the respect for this country is just not there, he said. I have many people from China that I do business with, and they laugh at us. They feel we're fools. You're doing business with cats that are laughing at you? Anyway, and almost being led by fools, and they can't believe what they're getting away with. This was not Trump's first trial balloon. We mentioned 99. If he did challenge for the nomination, he might well find himself up against another controversial character with her own reality show, Alaska's former governor, Sarah Palin.
Donald Trump will present the same conundrum that a H. Ross Perot presents, a successful businessman, a guy that knows economics. How well does Donald Trump know the world of politics and diplomacy? And that's a good question, because the big bash on Perot was that while it's great to run your own company as an autocrat, when you're president of the United States, you are not an autocrat. You're president of the United States. You've got to listen to this guy, that guy, this guy, that guy, this guy. You have the bully pulpit. You've got influence, but you cannot just simply say thus and so, and it happens that way. It ain't like that. So we'll find out. 877-876-PHIL, world-famous Phil Hendry Show. What are we coming back with, man? New deals have emerged in the slaying, new details, rather, have emerged in the slaying of a top Hollywood publicist. Plus, still to come tonight, the Dr. Green Thumb Report on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You don't want another letter?
No.
World famous Phil Hendry Show.
They made it up.
No, they didn't make it up, man. This is incredible. You know, every night I flip on the military channel because, frankly, it's the only channel that, I don't know, it's the only channel that I'm interested in watching. And anyway, they have, some nights they've got some footage that's the most incredible stuff I've ever seen. And you think they made that up?
Yeah, those are actors.
You know, you got to be some kind of an idiot, man. That stuff is real. Look at that. See that?
Well, yeah, that's real.
That's real footage. What do you mean, actors? They've got incredible footage of the U.S. infantry in that hedgerow country there in Normandy. And I don't know where they get this stuff. I really don't. But they had this man, Mr. Ellers, on, who won the Congressional Medal of Honor. And that's what Ron Tarner was giving me a hard time about.
Yeah, well, he was talking about how you're getting your jollies.
I'm not getting my jollies, man. For the fifth time, I ain't getting my jollies. You believe that?
No, but that's what he said.
He gets his kicks keeping his kid out in 29-degree weather. I don't get my kicks doing that.
Yeah, but you were talking about that guy getting blown up.
So I talked about the guys. Do you understand what I was talking about? I was talking about his brother.
Yeah, you said his brother got blown up, and you said it looked cool and everything.
You know something? You're a lying sack, man. I never said that.
Yeah, I know you didn't say that, but you said the brother got blown up.
Yeah. Did I say that it was cool? Did I say it looked bitchin'? No. I said this man, Mr. Ellers, saw his brother's craft, his landing craft, get a rocket. Okay. Get my kicks. Boy, oh boy.
Well, I probably misheard.
Yeah, well, you know, there's something new. Now, listen to this, folks, because you're going to... It's not that weird, but it's just, this is typically Americana these days. Boy, everybody's got to sign off on something. You want to know why nobody takes a... You know why people don't just step out? And just step out and say, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing. I'm going to do this because this is the right, and come what may, you know. Now, there are people that do that. They think they're doing the right thing, and they've done exactly the wrong thing, and they find out all too quickly. But I mean, just making a decision, you know. Now, here is a great example of how nobody wants to make a decision. In Chicago, Illinois this weekend, Northwestern University is going to be playing a football game against Illinois. And guess where they're going to play it? Well, they're going to play it at Wrigley Field. Wrigley Field, the home of the Chicago Cubs. Now, I don't know the last time they played a football game at Wrigley Field, but I know the Bears used to play there. Now, you know that a baseball stadium, its configuration is much different from what one would want optimally for football. You know, it's a diamond-shaped field, and football is rectangular. You can fit a rectangular field into a baseball diamond shape, but it depends on how much room you'll have when you run into the end zone or you're running right into a brick wall. And at Wrigley Field, that's exactly what will happen in one of the end zones. So what the Big Ten decided to do was to say on offensive plays, they'll always be aiming at the end zone with the most room. Now, the Big Ten announced today that the schools had agreed to drastic and unusual changes for the game at the home of the Chicago Cubs, including running all offensive plays toward the end zone that doesn't happen to come within a foot or so of a padded brick wall. If you've ever seen old and you know, go on YouTube or get out your old you know, highlight DVDs and take a look at some of those old Chicago Bear games, you can see these, the guys are catching touchdown passes and they're 3 feet away from a brick wall and then falling into the stands. This is the first football game at Wrigley Field in 40 years, so 1970. The change was approved, along with a few others, by the NC2A. Okay, and if the move sounds like a last-minute surprise, well, the Chicago Cubs think so, too, because the Cub president said, I don't get it, man. The field dimension layout was delivered to the Big Ten 8 months ago. Last month, the field was built exactly to the dimensions previously approved by the Big Ten. So, in other words, they chalked the field out to the dimensions previously approved by the Big Ten. Last week, a Big Ten official performed an on-site visit to Wrigley Field, participated in a field walkthrough, and raised no issue with the field dimensions, the painted lines, or the boundaries previously approved by the Big Ten. But what do you think happened? Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney released a statement that credited both schools with doing significant due diligence over the past 18 months. He said the actual layout prompted the change to keep the players safe. Now, where do I think this thing should have come? You know, where do I think this should have? It should have obviously been the following. We have this thing and it's there. Right. Is it cool? It's cool. Well, we're playing again. Oh, no, I think what we need to do is no, 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 no. Why? Well, we're not changing it to go one way. What's the point of playing at Wrigley Field for the first time in 40 years so we go out there looking like a Pop Warner team? What are you talking about? We're just trying to keep the players safe. If you want to keep the players safe, don't have the game at Wrigley Field. Do you understand? What is football, man? Football is going back and forth on a gridiron. You go there, I go there. Oh, what difference does it make? Well, I got it. Let's just do this now. From now on, man, let's just go one way on all the fields. Well, we have season ticket holders. You got that right. Look, if you guys approved it and that's the way it's going to be and it's beautiful and everything is right, then that's the way it's going to be. Well, what about the safety of our players? You should have thought of that 18 months ago, just like the man said. All of a sudden, somebody opens their big yeah, and everybody is so afraid of their own shadow. The problem is that the east end zone nearly abuts the right field wall, which has been heavily padded. The field is laid out east-west for the first football game at Wrigley Field since the Bears left for Soldier Field following the 1970 season. Back then, Bears games were played north-south, but there wasn't much room there either. And everyone decided the east-west layout was the way to go for Saturday's in-state showdown. Due to Wrigley's history in the world of sports, the field was chosen as a good venue for two Illinois teams to throw down. And it is. Anyway, more about this next hour, and also coming up, TSA allegedly makes a cancer victim remove her prosthetic breast. If you're ready for that, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Button Robert next in our news hour.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I would choose the body scanners just because when you're already in a rush.
You know, it's been my life, really, for the last 10 years. I've grown up.
I definitely believe it's going to be bad for me. It just kind of was one of the things.
I am a Republican. I would run as a Republican.
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape crap.
Famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. It ain't like that other crap. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Anyway, the TSA allegedly makes a cancer victim remove her prosthetic breast. A woman created a poll asking users if she should have a birth or abortion. Yeah, give birth or have an abortion. And a serial killer is on the loose in Philly. Yeah. I shouldn't say that. It's a horrible, horrible event. Good luck to the Philadelphia police. A serial killer. The reason why I said yeah, and I didn't mean it that way, is that it's been a while since we've seen that kind of eventuality.
Yeah, you're talking about how they always catch him and everything.
Well, I don't know if they always catch him, but they definitely have better police science and forensic science where you don't see the Green River killers of the days of yore. You know, the BTKs and These guys go out and commit some monstrous murder, but they're generally apprehended, at least lately, within the first, I guess I shouldn't say that this is a, you know, a good thing, but within the first couple, it's just, it's a reality. It's a kind of a human, and I call them non or anti-humans. What I call serial killers, anybody that has no conscience and is a sadistic psychopath, I don't call them animals, because that, as has been pointed out by many smarter people than me, that's an insult to animals. And what makes it, animals aren't bad. Animals don't kill for no reason. Psychopaths do. So I call them anti-human. I call them non-human, you know.
Well, they're like the undead.
What do you mean they're like the undead?
Yeah, like a vampire or something?
No, they're not a vampire.
Well, but no, but I mean the undead.
No, not the undead. I'm not talking about vampires. They're like non-human. They're like fake human. They have all the look and the appearance and the behavior of a human, but they are anti-human, you know.
Well, what's the difference between that and an undead?
Yeah, what does the police say?
About undead, for instance.
Cops don't talk about undead because there's no such thing as an undead. Cops will talk about psychopaths, but they don't talk about the undead, okay?
There's nothing in a cop book about it?
No, man, there's nothing in a cop book about the undead. Why would there be?
Because they got to have the different stories about everybody.
They ain't got nothing about the undead because there's no such thing. Cops would have something about the undead if there was such a thing, but they don't.
What about the FBI?
What about the FBI?
They ain't got no undead bureau or anything?
The Undead Bureau? Yeah, that's what they got, man. You know what you guys ought to do?
Well, I mean, we're just asking questions.
Why don't you call them up, man, and find out who it was that the... What was that jazz, that X-Files? You remember that show?
Man, I love that show.
Yeah, call them up and see if those X-Files people are working. Maybe they can help you.
That's ridiculous.
Well, you guys are talking about the Undead Bureau. TSA pat-downs overly intrusive. Are you kidding me or something? You know that X-Files is fake.
Yeah, I know it's fake, but it's supposed to be based on real stuff.
Oh, my rear end, based on real stuff. Yeah, it's based on stories. It's based on some fragment of fantasy, some fragment of a great horror story. It's based on some H.P. Lovecraft. It's based on some Rod Serling. It ain't based on nothing true.
No, that's the X-Files is supposed to be based on a true thing.
Really? Like the time they were at that circus and that dude's evil twin grew out of his side?
Yeah.
Yo, guess what? That was Basket Case, man.
Yeah, Basket Case is great.
Basket Case wasn't real, is all I'm trying to tell you.
Basket Case is probably the best movies ever made.
I don't necessarily disagree. But I'm telling you, Basket Case ain't based on anything real. Evil Twin. The incoming leaders of the House Transportation Committee on Friday called the new airport pat-down procedures almost as goofy as Robert and Bud. No, they called them overly intrusive and demanded that the transportation... No, read it, man. No, it doesn't say that. And demanded that the Transportation Security Administration restrict their use. So the new pat-down procedures are overly intrusive. These are the incoming leaders of the House Transportation Committee. Both of these men, Republicans, in a letter to the TSA, Representative John Micah of Florida, Representative Thomas Petrie of Wisconsin, who are set to assume leadership of aviation issues in Congress next year when the Republicans take control, said only the highest risk passengers should be subjected to the more aggressive pat-downs. I have to tell you, I agree. And, you know, we'll talk a little bit about that. Here is Mackenzie Wooters of Delaware telling USA Today that she received a thorough pat-down.
It's my first pat-down post-body scanner, and there isn't any area they forget to touch. We had infant formula, and I guess that is somehow considered an added security layer or something. So, nonetheless, I went on to receive the pat-down, which was as invasive as everyone has heard, and quite aggressive.
USA Today asked passengers which they would pick to go through, a pat-down or the body scanner. Remember, you go through the pat-down if you refuse the body scan.
I would choose the body scanner just because when you're already in a rush and trying to get to your gate, the pat-down seems like it might take more time, and it's a little more intimate. I'm uncomfortable with both situations, but I think the pat-down would make me more uncomfortable.
If given a choice, I would go through the scanner, and I did say to someone, I would be interested, could I view the scanner myself?
Whatever's fastest, because it's faster.
So there you go. You hear a lot of people talking scanner. I'd go through the scanner, too. Whatever. You know, if somebody wants to save a picture of me nude, have at it, man.
Dad, that ain't going to happen.
Well, but you certainly welcome to it. Phil Hendry, nude. Because in that instance, I wouldn't be the object of ridicule. The guy that saved the picture would.
How do you know it'd be a guy?
It'd be a guy. Don't worry about it. But here's the thing about this pat-down versus scanner versus security measures. And it's very true, and I will be just one of many who's said this. And this isn't the first time, man, that we've talked about who originally, all the way back to September the 11th of 2001, who originally was suspected, what individual was originally considered to be high risk or suspicious or otherwise of a group that we should notice. Well, as we said then, and I think I've said it every year since 2001, it was as follows. Young men ages 19 to 33 who are in the United States on a student visa and who come from countries that are, quote unquote, terror sponsoring or on the watch list. All right? Young men, 19 to 33, who are in the United States on student visas, who come from terror-sponsoring countries. Now, that's not profiling. That is a type. I don't call that profiling because that's not an entire racial group. That's not an entire gender.
Yeah, but it's Arab. You know it's Arab.
No, it ain't, man. It didn't say nothing about Arab.
It doesn't say anything about Arabs, bud. It said...
Well, what other terror... Is there?
North Korea? Yeah. Didn't think of that one, huh?
Yeah, I got you on that one, man.
Well, that's there. Yeah, right.
Yeah, right. North Korea. Okay, so it isn't just Arabs. Asian. And I don't know of any other countries, and I'm sure there are others. What the point I'm making here, though, is that it does not narrow down to racial type. It narrows down to... point of origination, nationality, and that's not racial. That's nationality. See? You can have, the United States, more than any other country in the world, and it's something to be very proud of, more than any country in the rest of the world, the United States is more nationality than it is racial type. The United States is black, white, Hispanic, Asian, Native, you name it, man. So when you talk about an American, you are not talking about a racial type. Any other country, it's very, very possible. Even Britain. Cuba is also considered a state sponsor of terror. So you would have young men, 1933. Now, I don't know if there's any Cuban nationals in the United States on student visas. But see, that's what we're talking about. Now, why do we bring this up? Because if we focused on this group, we would be focusing primarily, ladies and gentlemen, on the very individuals that we have arrested or otherwise sought in the number of terror incidents that we've encountered since 2001, whether it is Richard Reed, whether it is... Now, I know Richard Reed came from England, so he was not coming from a terror-sponsoring country. However, Richard Reed originated, I believe, and I don't know if he had a British passport or if he had more than one passport. He could have a British passport and another passport. Richard Reed, though, was Arab, and Richard Reed did originate, I think, in an Arab country. I think he was from originally an Arab country. But you would have narrowed it down. Every single one of these situations, whether it's the underwear bomber, whether it's the dam, this thing with the freaking printing cartridges, whether it's Richard Reed, you name it, all of them fell within those markers that I just laid out for you. In some way. And certainly that's something that you can take and you can manipulate. You can change, you can change the guidelines here and there. You can change the marker. You can, well, maybe 1933, maybe that's too old. Maybe not just terror sponsoring nations, maybe Arab nations, all Arab nations. You know, or maybe it's just, in North Korea and Syria. I don't know. But as sure as hell would... Now, where the hell? Richard Reed was born in South London, but he trained at an Al-Qaeda camp in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
What kind of passport did he have?
Well, if he was born in London, he would have had a British passport. So we would have missed him.
What's that duty of theory?
Blows it right out of the water.
That's what you get for reading Ann Coulter.
That's right. Yeah, I'm going to blame Ann Coulter. All right, so I don't know, man. Let me look into this, because I think I'm right still. 877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877-877- How about that, man? A couple asking if they should give birth or have an abortion. We'll have the Dr. Green Thumb report. And don't forget our website, live streaming video of the show right now on audio, philhenryshow.com. Woo!
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Quit yelling, man.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, welcome back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here in our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. A woman, meanwhile, speaking of pat-downs and scans, it's news. It's all over the country. A woman says her Lambert St. Louis International security screening was sexual assault. So you just heard some people here in our last segment saying, well, all things being equal, I think I'd probably like to have the body scan. But if you don't want the body scan, you have to be patted down. And when you're patted down, well, more Americans are growing angry over what the Transportation Security Administration admits are more intrusive security pat-downs at airports. One woman comparing her experience to sexual assault. Now, business traveler Penny Maroney was flying home from St. Louis to Chicago. Like all other airline passengers, she had to go through security first. When the metal in her artificial knees set off the detectors, she had to undergo more screening. Maroney asked if she could go through a body scanner, but was told none were available. A pat-down was the only alternative. I thought you had to go through a body scanner, and then you go through the pat-down. Or do you go through the body scanner if your metal knees set off the thing, and then you go for that, and then the thing? Who knows? Maroney explained the pat-down was aggressive and intrusive, with the agent touching her breast and genitals. G-E-N-T-I-A-L-S. I was shaking and crying when I left that room, Maroney says. Under any other circumstances, if a person touched me like that without my permission, it would be considered criminal sexual assault. Was it a man? Was it a woman? Maroney complained to the Transportation Security Administration supervisor and then complained on the ACLU's website. The national office is now monitoring what it calls a flood of complaints from across the country. Edwin Yonka of ACLU Illinois says there are no laws and no regulations that govern scanners and pat-downs. Maroney says she wishes there were full-body scanners everywhere so that she could have avoided the pat-down. So she would have taken a scan if they'd had a scanner available. Penny Maroney talks to KMOX-TV in St. Louis about an aggressive pat-down that she received from a TSA agent named Eddie. No, I don't know who it was. Was it a woman or was it a man?
And I said, well, I would prefer to use the body scanner, and I was told they were not available. Her gloved hands touched my breasts, went between them. Then she went into the top of my slacks, inserted her hands between my underwear and my skin, and put her hand up on the outside of my slacks and patted my genital area. I was shaking and crying when I left that room. I likened it to being raped.
Well, so that was a woman. All right. And so that's where that's at. TSA, what do you want me to say?
Well, what do you think?
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to think. I don't know, man. I mean, I don't think... If you are doing an aggressive pat-down and you find something, what are we supposed to say here, folks? What are we supposed to be, what are we looking to do here? You know, I don't see anything wrong with that. She may be offended and upset and she's all twisted out of shape, but anybody got any brighter ideas? I mean, I already said, why don't we just go ahead and target the suspect group? But that's obviously not going to cover it, because we just mentioned Richard Reed. He's from Pakistan. TSA makes cancer victim remove prosthetic breast. Well, this ought to be a lot of fun here. A flight attendant and cancer survivor said she was forced to remove and show her prosthetic breast to a TSA agent during a security pat-down. Kathy Bossy of Charlotte who has been a flight attendant for the past 32 years, told CBS affiliate WBTV that in August she was asked to go through the new full-body scanners at Charlotte Douglas International Airport. As a three-year breast cancer survivor, Bossy said she didn't want the added radiation through her body, but reluctantly agreed. The TSA agent told me to put my ID on my back. What does that mean, man? When I got out of there, she said, because my ID was on my back, I had to go. I don't know what this story means. All right, enough about this stuff, okay? Here's the answer to the question. Until we got something better, then you're going to have to suffer it. That's just where it's at. We got people smuggling explosives onto aircraft, okay? We've had it happen within the last 60 days. We've had it happen consistently since 9/11. We got people who are trying to blow aircraft out of the sky. It's not anybody's imagination. It's nobody's making it up. Nobody's paranoid. Nobody's saying, ooh, we're seeing things. It's happening. It's out there. And it's real. So until anybody else has got a brighter idea, I don't know what else to say. Yes, I would love to be able to just screen Arabs and Muslims and people from countries that are suspect. I would love that. If it was within the guidelines of age group and in the guidelines of what was on the passport, I'd love that. But that would be profiling. That would be bad. That's racism. Isn't it right? So we're just going to have to do this. Now, if they don't want to do this, well, then we're just going to have to fly and risk getting our asses blown out of the air. I don't know what else to tell you. One of the problems with our country, especially this country, is while America has always been an admirable place because we believe there's no problem we can't beat, we don't believe that there is a thing out there that has ever been invented or created or anything that is even God-made that we can't overcome. You know, but much of what we want to overcome now is garbage of our own making. You know, what we want to overcome now is our need to be secure, but at the same time, feel secure. We want to overcome that. I want to be secure, but I don't want to have to go through the steps necessarily needed to be secure. Do you understand? Certainly. And then I'm going to sue you if I'm not secure. I understand perfectly, sir. Well, that's impossible. It's impossible. And when you're dealing with people that are putting explosives in their underwear and they'll blow themselves and anybody else around them to hell and back and they don't care, and you're dealing with people that'll put explosives into any kind of container and put it anywhere in the aircraft, and you're dealing with people that are going to continue attempting to do this, now they realize they can't hijack planes because you know what happens to hijackers. They're going to get their asses beat. The people on the plane don't care because they realize they're dead anyway. So you, Mr. Hijacker, you're a dead man trying to hijack an aircraft. So what's the next best thing? Now they're going to smuggle on explosives. That is something they can do. So how do we check for that? Well, there's no other way. There's no other way. There's no other way. Unless, of course, we want to start to do things in an intelligent way, which is to say, there is a suspect group. Let's begin by focusing on them. But we can't do that. We can't do that because there is an agenda on the side of people who were completely opposed to this idea of a war on terror in the first place, and that is, let's not lose our humanity at the expense of trying to protect our country. And they think losing the humanity is like arresting people. I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. The Dr. Green Thumb Report next.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Are you kidding me, man? You're going to get a Jaguar? Come on.
I don't want to get another Jaguar. You know, look, now I don't want to talk about this.
You're going to drive a truck. You look like a redneck for sure.
I want to get a truck because it's something that I would use, all right? And the guy, Jason and Charles, they agree with me.
Are you kidding me, man? I had a chance to drive something sweet, like a real sweet ride like that. And you want to get a short like a Jaguar? You want to get a truck? Lord, you out of your mind, man.
I agree with him there.
All right, fine. You guys, you know, go ahead. You are free to go and get Jaguars. I'm going to get a truck.
You're nuts.
Yeah, look it, man. You have to drive it?
No, but I got to look at it.
Yeah, you got to look. Get out of here. Philadelphia police say a serial killer who could be responsible for recent assaults against women may be on the loose. A serial killer who could be responsible for recent assaults against women may be on the loose. The bodies of two women who were half naked and choked to death have been found within a mile of each other in the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, you want some water?
I know I'm belching and everything. Excuse me. A local NBC affiliate reported the bodies of two women who were half naked and choked to death have been found within a mile of each other in the last 3 weeks. A third woman has come forward and said she survived a similar attack with her assailant leaving her for dead behind an abandoned building. Homicide police are trying to determine if there's a connection between the deaths. Well, they don't know yet, so that's why we say possible. So the headline is sexy, but it is yet to be determined. We're looking for a definitive link, said Deputy Commissioner William Blackburn, according to the Philadelphia Inquirer. So that's in Philadelphia. The first victim was Elaine Goldberg. She was 21. Her body was discovered in a lot. Then on Saturday, police found the body of Nicole Piancentini behind an abandoned building. Both women had been strangled. Police said they appeared to have had sexual contact with their attacker, but it's not clear if the contact was consensual. The third woman, who has not been identified...
What's that mean?
Huh?
What's consensual?
If they agreed to it. If it wasn't a rape.
Oh.
The third woman, who was not identified, said she went behind an abandoned building with a man she met on the street. He assaulted her and choked her until she lost consciousness. Well, that's smart.
Are they lady hookers?
I don't know, man. It doesn't say, but perhaps. The suspect is described as being in his late 20s to early 30s, African-American or Latino, between 5'8" and 6 feet tall. Meanwhile, here's the big story of the hour. Not the big story of the hour, but this is in Apple Valley, Minnesota, where a couple touched off an internet frenzy Thursday with their birth or not website. KSTP Television Minneapolis asked Alicia Arnold why she's putting this issue up to an online vote.
We really wanted to be able to let people voice their opinions, and I think a lot of the time that people it's a very controversial issue. People definitely have opinions about this, but I think a lot of the time that they don't feel like they're opinions get heard or that doesn't go anywhere. And so we wanted to give people a chance to vote and actually have their, you know, opinion be heard and make a difference in a real life situation.
What?
That sounds like bull, man.
I don't believe that.
Why?
Well, this is supposedly a couple that they are torn as to whether they're going to have the baby or not because this poor girl had had three miscarriages and they weren't sure whether they're ready for a baby. That, to me, sounds highly emotional. And she says, I wanted to wait longer because I was losing weight and living a healthier lifestyle. I wasn't sure what to do and all of this and all of that. And then she says, but, you know, people want to have an opinion, too. To me, that sounds real phony baloney.
Yeah, what does she care about what people think, man?
Here is Arnold, the lady, I guess, asks whether she regrets the poll. And that's that. Now then, no, here it is.
Ask me in another couple weeks. No, regret.
Well, ain't she glib, you know?
What do you hear it, man?
All right.
Ask me in another couple weeks. No.
Well, I hear the whole thing.
Regret? No. I tried to avoid things that would cause regret, but I am a little bit wary now. I guess I would think twice about, you know, ever trying something like this again. If I went back, I
must
would probably do a little bit more soul searching before this went up. But, you know, what can we do now?
But you never have regrets, huh? So, Bob, what do you think about voting on whether, you know, you should have your testicles cut off? Wow. Well, you know, So, Mary, I know that, you know, it's kind of a tough one. Should you have an abortion?
You know, Chuck, it's never easy. It's never easy. I was saying to Hal, my brother, we're bowling. And, I mean, don't she sound all relaxed?
Yeah, it sounds kind of suspicious.
What are you talking about? She was talking about whether she wanted to do it or not.
She sounded too relaxed. Ooh, yeah, well... I don't know, man. She's rapping about whether... It sounded to me like, well, what do you think of the drapes? Oh,
Ooh, boy, that's a good call. Yeah, I don't know. To do it again, I think I would have gone with orange. I don't know. People like that, they're giving me the creeps. Finally, Beverly Hills, California, new details emerge of the slaying of Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen. This is a story that is interesting. It's a tragic story, but now we have we have to solve this. Now, Ronnie Chasen is a publicist.
What's a publicist anyway?
I told you the other day, a publicist is somebody.
Publicists, they're like people that put your name on a newspaper and everything.
That doesn't mean anything.
She's like the person that the company hires, the movie company, to go out and get publicity, to book interviews and to get the names of the stars. Where were they having dinner? And where were they doing this week? And what are they doing that week? You know, they drop all this jazz. I don't know.
Oh.
Anyway. New details emerged in the slaying of Hollywood publicist Ronnie Chasen, but police detectives still have no motive or suspect in the Tuesday morning shooting attack. Detectives now believe Chasen was killed in a car-to-car shooting, with the assailant firing into the passenger side window of her Mercedes coupe. Beverly Hills Mayor Jimmy Delshad told the Los Angeles Times that detectives believe a vehicle taller than Chasen's car, perhaps a sport utility vehicle, was involved. Delshad said, quote, indications are the shots could have come from another car higher up, maybe an SUV, adding that it does not appear at this point that the assailant fired while standing in the street. Delshad and other Beverly Hills officials expressed shock over the shooting, saying the city has not seen anything like it in years. Councilman John Mirisch said residents are horrified by the ruthlessness of the crime. We hope the police can bring whoever committed this awful crime to justice. It's clearly their top priority. Lieutenant Tony Lee of the Beverly Hills Police Department said Thursday that officials have... What are you doing, bud?
I was just wondering about, about Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, what about that?
Oh, Eddie Murphy, huh?
Yeah.
You know what? This is a real murder, man. This ain't no movie, you know?
I know.
So what do you... cool it with your Beverly Hills cop bullcrap.
We just think, man, what if they had Eddie Murphy?
What if they had Eddie Murphy? Then they'd have an actor for a cop.
That's true.
Yeah. This ain't nothing to laugh at, man. This is like real, you know? Real.
I know it's real. I'm just saying, if they had a cop as good.
Maybe they do have a cop as good. Have you thought about that?
I doubt it, man. We would have heard about him.
What are you talking about? You would have heard of... cops are out there doing great jobs every day, and you don't hear about them, man. They ain't getting the headlines. What do you think this is? Dirty Harry or something?
Well, wouldn't they get in the newspaper and everything?
No! You know, you guys watch way too many movies. There's cops out there that are doing their job every day, doing heroic things every day, making arrests, saving lives every day, and it don't make the front page like Dirty Harry.
Well, I thought about it.
Anyway, Lieutenant Tony Lee of the Beverly Hills Police... Look at this. I just noticed. Thanks, Jace. Now, I don't want to change subjects too much, but he said that this abortion woman, she gave a 13-minute interview to KSTP, and in the entire interview, she was never emotional. She's just all thinks it's so bitching that she's on TV. Screw you, lady. All right, now getting back to this story, Lieutenant Tony Lee of the Beverly Hills Police Department said Thursday that officials have not concluded whether Chasen was shot at the intersection or closer to where her car crashed into a light pole near Whittier and Greenway Drives. Delshad said police found some pieces of glass, possibly from Chasen's car window, near the intersection of Whittier and Sunset Boulevard, but they found no bullet casings. He added that Beverly Hills police were working on the case 24 hours a day. Chasen was shot to death early Tuesday while driving her Mercedes-Benz near the intersection of Whittier and Sunset in Beverly Hills. She was on her way home from a movie premiere after party. She's believed to have left the event about midnight, traveling west on Sunset. Friends believe she had planned to head south to her condominium on Wilshire Boulevard near the grounds of the Los Angeles Country Club. Several residents dialed 911 at the time of the attack. The first call from a person who lives near Sunset and Benedict Canyon Drive reported a gunshot. Moments later, more 911 calls came in reporting shots heard several blocks to the west near Whittier and Wilshire. Another resident called 911 to report hearing the car crash into the light pole. Boy, that's a lot of 911 calls, man.
Yeah, well, you hear a gunshot, man, in Beverly Hills.
I guess so. How many shots did they say? Four?
Yeah, four of them.
All right, well, I made a prediction, and I've got
I don't know. But I made a prediction they'd have this thing wrapped in 2 weeks, and I hold to that
Hello,
prediction.
Dr. Green Thumb.
You'll be sorry.
Oh, be quiet, man. Now the Dr. Green Thumb report. Man arrested after his safe is stolen. A Portsmouth man is facing drug charges after an unusual set of circumstances led police to uncover an alleged stash of marijuana. Sean Riley, age 45, is accused of growing 14 marijuana plants in a shed on his Martins Road home. The investigation began when a neighbor called police because two men were spotted stealing a safe from Riley's home. They were arrested and the safe was taken to the Portsmouth Police Department. Police told Eyewitness News Riley called to report a stolen safe, so they had him come to the station to identify it. The owner of the safe came up to headquarters, provided us with access to the safe. Inside, we found approximately $5,000 in cash and 2 pounds of weed. Police immediately seized the safe. They say a search of Riley's property turned up the 14 marijuana plants. Riley, along with his two 19-year-old men accused of stealing the safe, have all been arraigned. What an idiot. Legalizing weed, if nothing else, you know, that's the bad part. We will never find out who the real idiots are. In Clairton, Pennsylvania, state police say a Western Pennsylvania woman tried to hide weed in a child's dirty diaper. That's right. Trooper Stephanie Plume had just asked permission to search the car of 23-year-old India Banks of Clairton when Banks allegedly handed the diaper to the trooper and asked her to toss it into a bag of garbage inside the vehicle. Plume says she thought it was odd of Banks to hand over the wet diaper instead of throwing it in the bag herself. So the trooper checked inside and found a small bag of dope. Plume described the October 25th traffic stop when Banks appeared in court Wednesday to waive her right to a preliminary hearing. Banks will enter a special probation program for first-time offenders that will enable her to change diapers and her record to be expunged if she complies with her probation terms. Dateline Billings, Montana, a 50-year-old Billings woman is charged with criminal possession of the weed with intent to distribute dope after she received a package of dope with 7 pounds of the dope inside. The Billings Gazette reports Mildred Ann Strike, not Lucky Strike, Mildred Ann Strike, pled not guilty during her arraignment Thursday. District Judge Susan Waters maintained her bond at $5,000. Prosecutors say a FedEx employee called Billings on November the 21st, Billings Police, about a suspicious package. A lot of that going around. Police obtained a search warrant and found it contained 7 pounds of weed. Officers delivered the package to Strike and they arrested her. A search of the woman's residence turned up additional marijuana and drug paraphernalia. In other Dr. Green Thumb news, Dateline Carson, Nevada. A northern Nevada school principal is defending the suspensions of 12 students for posting pro-marijuana signs on campus. Carson Middle Valley School Principal Robert Bean says the signs reading legalize weed and free the weed caused a disruption of his classmates. And he says they violated policy requiring all signs to be approved by the staff before being displayed. A man robbed trying to illegally sell his medical marijuana stash, Dateline Colorado Springs, Colorado. A medical marijuana user says two rotten, stinking punks stole his pot after first asking to buy it. The man, 29, told Colorado Springs police he was behind a building when the two teenagers tried to complete the deal. The man told officers when they got there, one of the teenagers pulled out a gun, pointed at the man, and said, "Let's have a weed." The victim said he pulled out a knife and stabbed one of the team. Boy, this is a real savory crowd, huh? You sure this weed your medical marijuana, my rear end? The man said the boys managed to beat him up, took the marijuana, and ran. No shots were fired. No one's been arrested. One of them stabbed, almost shot. Jeez. Sheesh, Luis. That's the Dr. Green Thumb report here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, Joe Scarborough gets suspended at MSNBC. We'll tell you why. Plus, did Bones finally beat the Big Bang Theory on TV? The world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, last segment of the show, and for those of you listening in Los Angeles, check us out tomorrow night on KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk radio there at 7 o'clock Pacific time, and we will let you guys here online on philhenryshow.com know when we will be providing the video cast of that show as well. Top ratings from this week, 8 p.m., this is Thursday night, right? Last night, Thursday night, 8 p.m., CBS's The Big Bang Theory, along with Crap My Dad Says. Big Bang Theory, 13 million viewers. Crap My Dad Says, 8 million viewers. Bones came in second, 9 million. ABC Special, A Charlie Brown Christmas, 7 million. NBC Community, 4 million. The Vampire Diaries on CW, 3 million. The Big Bang Theory wins the 18 to 49-year-old sweepstakes, and that is the CBS show. 9 o'clock, CBS's CSI, 14 million viewers. Grey's Anatomy second. Look at CBS, NBC, The Office, 7.2 million. Fringe with 4.9 million, The Fox, and The CW, Nikita. And the 18 to 49-year-old sweepstakes is won by ABC's Grey's Anatomy. And finally, at 10 o'clock, CBS, The Mentalist, 14.7. The Mentally Ill on ABC, 8. No, I'm kidding. ABC's Private Practice, NBC's The Apprentice is wiping up the rear.
Yeah, so much for Donald Trump.
Oh, well, don't give me that crap. Trump, you know, like he cares. Harry Potter earns $24 million in midnight showing. That's right, Harry Potter, with a big, fat midnight showing last night. $24 million. Did I say last night? I don't know when it was. It's midnight opening. It eclipsed the last movie, Harry Potter and what is this, The Half-Breed? No, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince, which had $22.2 million midnight launch in 3,003 locations. Harry Potter's Tom Felton, who plays Draco Malfoy, talks to Clever TV about growing up on the set of the film.
You know, it's been my life, really.
That's the end of that. No, I'm kidding. Here.
You know, it's been my life, really, for the last 10 years. I've grown up with everyone on the set, the cast and crew. And I joined a young boy, and I've left a young man, which is kind of weird, because I've lost a bit in the middle, and it all seems like a little bit of a blurred into one. But, you know, certainly in the last few years, looking back at it, it's been an incredible journey, and incredibly lucky to have been a part of it.
Right. If you get yourself a job, it might be bloody good, you know.
Quit talking funny.
All right. MSNBC has suspended Joe Scarborough for just being a slob. They can't stand his looks, and they don't like him, and they love Keith Olbermann, and they decided to make Keith feel better. They'd make an issue out of Joe Scarborough, so they have suspended him. Of course, I'm kidding. No, they suspended Joe Scarborough because he made political contributions that he didn't report to. So Phil Griffin suspended him for 2 days, and apparently these were political donations that were made by Joe Scarborough between 2004 and 2008, and they were never in excess, according to Mr. Scarborough, they were never in excess of $500, and they were to family members and friends. Scarborough says he never reported these to MSNBC because they were to friends and they were to family members, and he didn't think that he needed to. Now, this is a company policy, folks. And for anybody to say, and I said this with Keith Oberfuhrer, for anybody to say, what? It's not a federal law this cat's violated. It's not a state law. It's a company policy. A pretty weird one. Very strange, considering what these two men do, Mr. Oberbrenner and Mr. Scarborough. These guys are paid to give opinion. One would think if they've got opinions, they support certain political candidates. And I don't think anybody, if you had said, oh, by the way, Joe Scarborough has donated money to this guy and Keith Olbermann to that guy, and no one told you that it violated MSNBC company policy, it would not strike any of us in the least strange. It would not strike us as being the least bit weird. But at MSNBC, they don't want that, and that's just where that's at. And I don't know whether that's promulgated at NBC itself or at GE. I don't know who the hell came up with it, but they should be taken out and shot. No, I'm kidding. It's stupid. Anyway, that's Joe Scarborough. See, he's going to be out for a couple of days. And, you know, here's the funny thing about it. I feel bad for the guy, but I'm kind of glad because I get sick of listening to him, you know?
Yeah, I'd rather see that other lady.
Yeah. I'd like to tell you about the UCF students who stocked up on the Four Loko, but we don't have time. I'll just say this. These UCF students have stocked up on Four Loko, so once it's illegal, don't make any... Never mind. Charles Wygant, our technical director, Dan Northcraft, our screener, and our producer is Jason Rentz. I'll see you tomorrow night on KFI, Los Angeles.
Phil Hendry.